The scripture this morning is Paul's second letter to Timothy. Timothy was converted through Paul's ministry and I believe his second missionary journey. Timothy was from the area of Derbe and or Lystra in Asia Minor. And now Timothy is a young servant of God, a preacher, a minister, and Paul is in prison in Rome. This was written around 66 or 67 AD, and Paul is, as a prisoner, he's asking Timothy to come and see him, bring his cloak and the scriptures, and Paul says here toward the end of this second letter to Timothy, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing."
Thank you, Dwayne. Carol, what's the name of your church?
Salem United Church.
Salem United Church. And it is quarter to ten. When do they worship?
10 o'clock.
They have ten, and today is Youth Sunday. And so they have you have a new music group starting today, don't you? Would you bow with me for a minute? Father, we pray for Salem United Church. We pray this morning as they have Youth Sunday. We pray for those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for every congregation. Because together, Father, we have the simple task of doing what you've asked. Your expectations of us are love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And now we come to faithfulness. Father, make us faithful. That sounds like such an easy thing. Make us faithful, O God, in a very challenging environment. We pray this in your name. Amen. On October 11th in 1896, there was a schooner coming out of Providence, Rhode Island, the E.S. Newman. They were heading south down to Norfolk, Virginia. On that day, it ran into a hurricane. It was pushed 100 miles. It had lost all sails, it had lost all anchor, and it was finally run aground 2 miles south of a place called Pea Island. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before. It is in North Carolina. Pea Island is an impressive place because there is there the only and first all African-American life-saving station at Pea Island. It is headed by a gentleman by the name of Richard Etheridge. Because of the high water and the heavy seas, he had stopped doing patrols. But all of a sudden, the surfman by the name of Theodore Meek saw a light. They asked, and he shined off a flare, and he asked that somebody would watch, and sure enough, they saw a distant light out 2 miles in the heavy surf. Etheridge, a veteran of 20 years, readied his crew. They hitched the mule. They took everything out. They couldn't use their guns to shoot a rope out. So they tied two surfmen together. And they swam 2 miles, lifted the heavy line onto the ship, and swam back. One at a time, they escorted the crewmen to shore. They were carried. All of them, all 11, in hurricane winds, in hurricane force. For their efforts, they were given the Gold Life Day Saving Medal on March 5th, 1996. The life-saving service eventually became something else that you and I are familiar with. It is called the Coast Guard. Do you know what the unofficial motto of the Coast Guard is? You have to go out. You don't have to come back. You have to go out. You don't have to come back. Etheridge, Meeks, Bowser, Pew, Westcott, they persevered. They were faithful. No matter the conditions, no matter the time, no matter the season, they knew why they were there, and they executed what they had to do. They went out. They didn't know if they were coming back. God's great expectations for us are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The expectations that we are supposed to have as those who follow Jesus also include faithfulness. I think one of the horrible things that we do when we bring people to Christ, when we make a presentation of the gospel, is somehow make everything is going to be like Candyland once you accept Jesus. Come to Jesus and all your problems are solved. For those of you who are Christians, are all your problems solved?
No.
For those of you who are Christians, do you ever have a rugged day?
Yes.
Are there days you'd rather stay in bed? Are there days you wish everyone else just stayed in bed? Yes. We persevere. We stand firm. We endure. We are faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I read this at my grandfather's funeral. Henry was a giant of a man when I was little. He was even bigger when I had grown. He was a mechanic his entire life. But that's not what defined him. It was his unwavering dedication to Jesus. And at his funeral, I said, "For I am already poured out like a drink offering." Isn't that an amazing image? Most of us don't know what that is. He's talking about Numbers chapter 13. A drink offering is something that you pour out to God. It is oil. It is wine. It is something that you give. It is an offering that is God and God's alone. It is symbolized the blood that is poured out on the altar. My life is being poured out before God, before Yahweh, before the Lord. And the time for my departure is near. There's going to be no more letters, Timothy. There's going to be no more communication. I know I'm going to die. And Paul sounds remarkably at peace at that. And then he says three things. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. I did it. I was faithful. I made it to the end. Now, for those of you who don't know the life of Paul, I'd like to encourage you to read I want you to read 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 that talks about when Paul was what he experienced as an apostle. That's what it means to fight the good fight. That's what it means to finish the race. That's what it means to keep the faith. He accomplished all of that. In prison, being stoned, being rejected. If you read the book of Acts, it always seems somebody was mad at Paul. People were so mad at him, they would follow him from city to city and make trouble for him. I can't imagine anyone being that annoying. But Paul maintained, endured, stood fast. He fulfilled the course. He did what he was supposed to do. He tells Timothy in the first letter, I want you to fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because there are times it is just a struggle. There are times it's just a struggle. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but there is a big tree that's gone from the front of our property. Bob and Jim did that. And do you see that really huge toy, that light powder blue toy that's out there? Jim, where do you put that in your garage, dude? They worked from 8 in the morning. Did you get out of here by 5?
Yeah.
5 o'clock. Lopping down once. When you were in the middle of it, did you think, why in the world did I start this stupid project? You know? We are called to be faithful. We are called to fight the fight. We are called to finish all the course of the race. I'm not a great runner. Is that a surprise to anyone in the room? I'm not a great runner. I remember in high school, they wanted us to run a mile. My question was, why? Why? I'm in there running a mile. You know, I'm the kind of person you clock a mile with a calendar. I mean, it's a long way around. You're running around and around and around and around and around and around this track. And you're running and you're thinking, you know, you're like that. I think I can. I think I can. I think, you know, the whole thing is I got to keep going. I got to keep going. I got to keep going because I have to finish. I have to be faithful. I have to complete the task. You know, Zach, I got to believe at some point in the 6 years that you're going to be there, you're going to say to yourself, this is not nearly as much fun as I anticipated. You know, I don't know what you're going to be on. I know that you said you can't remember what your specialty, but someday you're going to be on a ship. And you're going to think to yourself, I have as much room as a broom. I mean, have you ever been on a ship? A Navy ship? Have you ever seen the bunks on that ship? You couldn't put a hamster on that thing. You know, you're going to be on there for 6-8 months, and you're going to be out there, and you're going to be in your fourth year thinking, yeah. Keep these words in mind. I fought the fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness. There is in store for me a crown of righteousness. That's the laurel that they gave to those who were victorious. That was in Greek and Roman games. It was a laurel of victory. It was a sign that you had accomplished something. The crown of righteousness is our victory sign. And it is given to us by God, who is a righteous judge. Jesus is the only one who will award the prize through his Father. The one who gives life. He is the righteous one. And he's going to reward me on that day. I love that expression, on that day. Did you know that on that day is written 71 times in the Old Testament, New Testament? It was a sign of that's the day when God is going to come and make everything the way it ought to be. That's when he's going to come and he is going to establish his kingdom. And he will be seen and recognized and it will be exactly as he has desired on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. That would be you and I and those people. People over at Salem United. The people over at every church in our community. All who seek to know Jesus. We're called to be faithful. God's been faithful. God describes himself in Exodus chapter 34 when he comes down to Moses. I am God, the compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 89. We sang it this morning. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness. I will declare that your love stands forever in heaven because you have established your faithfulness. We're expected to be faithful. Because God is, we're to share the same thing. I commend to you sometime to read Hebrews chapter 12. After chapters 11 and 12. About halfway through, almost the end of chapter 11, it starts with these words. I don't have time to tell you about Gideon or Barak. I don't have time to tell you about Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. These people, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword. Those whose weakness was turned to strength and those who became powerful in battle. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released in order that they might even gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers, some faced flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went around in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute. They were persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They were faithful. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised because God had something better planned for us so that only together with us they would be made perfect. And since you and I are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw out everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run the race. Persevering, steadfast, faithful, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Let us run the race. I have no idea what you're going to run into when you leave here this morning. I don't have a clue. Not one. But I do know you're going to have to be faithful. I do know you're going to have to be faithful. You're going to have to be stable. You're going to have to be reliable. You're going to have to endure. You're going to have to be dependable. You're going to hang in there. You're going to keep going. You just have to. Probably my favorite expression of faithfulness comes from the Latin, semper fidelis. Maybe you know it better as semper fi. It is the Marine Corps motto. It bonds them from any other. It's beyond teamwork. It is beyond brotherhood. It is the Marine Corps motto in 1883. It is the guiding light. They are always faithful to the mission, to one another, to the Corps, to the country, no matter what. It is a transformational experience that cannot be undone. Once a Marine will always be a Marine. Once a follower of Christ, we are always a follower of Christ. I don't know if you know who Clarence Jordan is. He started a Koinonia farm in Americus, Georgia. It was racial unity and cooperation. He started in 1940. In 1954, the Ku Klux Klan came by and burned every building on the farm except Jordan's home. During the raid, he recognized the voice of a local newspaper reporter. The next day, that reporter showed up, and he wanted to write a story. And he comes to him and he says to Jordan, "I heard about the awful news of your tragedy last night. I came out to do a story." Jordan just kept planting and hoeing. The reporter continued on his prodding, and he never got any response from Jordan. And finally, the reporter says, "You got 2 PhDs. You've put 14 years into this farm, and there is nothing left. Just how successful do you think you've been?" And Jordan stopped. And he stood up, and he looked at the reporter. "You don't get it, do you? You don't understand us Christians. We're not about success. We're about faithfulness." I leave you with these words, the words of Jesus, the words of the Coast Guard. "You're going to have to go out. We don't know if you'll come back. You have to go out." You see, we're not about success. We're about faithfulness. Just like the one we follow. In Jesus' name, amen.